Jeev Galerta, Falcha Roth, Log Hanabra Fadamwe and Shin, Augustan Grainic Tanov, Nahwil Shego Hanna Hall and her Fad. Welcome to the Gaelic Hour here on Shin 97.9 FM. This is Austin Camerton here in Ottawa, and we're also on Rogers Cable at 97.3, and we're streaming on the internet at www.chinradio.com. Or you can also catch it at my website, which is www.fidelity.ca. That's FYDELITY.ca. And while we're here online, the email box is open. The address is gaelic@fidelity.ca. That's gaelic@fidelity.ca. And we keep the music that we play up on a playlist button on the website. So if you're interested in any of the tunes, wondering what CDs they're taken from, etc., just go on the website, click on it, and you'll get the list there. And if you want any dedications or any music played, do click on the envelope, send me an email, let me know what you'd like to hear, and I'll see if I can source it and play it for you. It's certainly a wonderful day to be here. I wasn't too sure if I was going to make it. I was in Austin, Texas this week, and when I got to the airport yesterday, the girl at the desk said, you're not going to make your flight, your connection, so we can get you home at 1:25 tomorrow. And when I explained that that just was not going to work, I must thank Stephanie in Austin, Texas, who is not listening, but Continental Airlines were very good to me and got me back here at 1 o'clock in the morning through Toronto. We have a wonderful program put together for you today. Earlier in the week, before I headed down south, I had the opportunity to attend Tommy Makem's concert down at the Heart and Crown. And it was a privilege to sit in the audience and see Tommy Makem perform. A true gentleman, a giant of Irish music and Irish culture. And after the concert, I had the opportunity to sit down with Tommy, and it was late. He came in Tuesday afternoon, and we sat down after the concert, and he chatted with me for about 40 minutes. And I'm going to share that conversation with you through the program today. It was so warm and so wonderful, this icon of Irish music. The Gaels, by the way, they have their golf going on at Irish Hills today, so I was hopeful I'd have the fixtures that they have coming up in the number of weeks, but I know there's none of them I can contact. They're probably all on the fairway somewhere, probably a few of them even in the rough, and the occasional one might actually make it to the green. Evans and Doherty were in town with Tommy Makem earlier in the week, and they're still down at the Heart and Crown, so if you go down there tonight, you can catch Evans and Doherty. Again, a very professional act. This program is brought to you in part by the generous sponsorship of the Irish Village.
In the year of our Lord 1806, we set sail from the cold Cay of Cork. And we were sailing away with the cargo of bricks for the Grand City Hall in New York. Well, we'd an elegant craft, it was rigged fore and aft, and how the trade winds drove, for she had 23 masts, and she stood several blasts, and they called her the Irish Rover. Well, there was Barney McGee from the banks of the Lee, there was Hogan from County Tyrone. And there was Johnny McGurk, who was scared stiff of work, and the chap from Westmead named Malone. Well, there was Slugger O'Toole, who was drunk as a rule, and fighting Bill Tracy from Dover, and your man Mick McCann from the banks of the Bann was the skipper on the Irish Rover. We had 1 million bags of the best Sligo rags. We had 2 million barrels of bone. And we had 3 million bales of all nanny goat's tails. We had 4 million barrels of stone. And we had 5 million hogs and 6 million dogs and 7 million barrels of porter. We had 8 million sides of all blind horses' hides in the hold of the Irish Rover. We had sailed 7 years when the mazes broke out, and the ship lost her way in the fog.
Big fog!
And the whale of the crew was reduced down to two, 'twas Michelle and the captain's old dog.
ship's rubber rock, a large white shock, and nearly tumbled over, turned 9 times around, and the poor old dog was drowned. Hang the last of the Irish Rover.
Tommy Makem, welcome to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9. Thank you for coming on to talk.
My pleasure, Austin, to be here.
Tommy, you were greatly influenced by your mom and the your background and all the family in the north, weaving and all that kind of stuff. Can you tell a little bit about how your mother, first of all, influenced your music? Because I know she was a major influence.
Well, my mother was internationally known as a source singer, they're called, in the business. She had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs, but she wouldn't have known a folk song if she tripped over it. She just had all hundreds of them in her head. But you're as likely to hear her singing something she heard on the radio last week, or a 28-verse version of Barbara Allen.
And that was in a time where songs, people went to each other's houses, people shared music with each other by meeting and singing.
Well, I think my mother got some songs from my grandmother. But they all got songs out of the middle, where they worked at the linen trade. They were weavers. And my mother once told me that if anyone ever brought a new song into the mill, it was like a gift, a Christmas present for everyone in the mill, because everyone in it would learn the songs. And I think they all sang constantly as sort of self-protection. Because of the noise of the looms and the machinery, they sang back at them so they wouldn't go deaf, I suppose.
Probably in time with them, even.
Probably could have been in time with as well.
We're all met together here to see at the club. We are glasses in our hand and our work upon our back. There's need of rain among them that can mend or can back. If it wasn't for the war. There's doctors and there's ministers and them that live the law. And our friends in South America, though them we never saw. But we can they wear the work of the weavers.
If it wasn't for the weavers, what would you do? You wouldn't have a cloth that's made of wool. You wouldn't have a coat or the black or the blue. If it wasn't for the work of the weavers.
So weaving is a trade that never can fail, as long as we need clothes for to keep another hail. So let us all be merry or a bigger old ale, and we'll drink to the health of the weavers.
If it wasn't for the weavers, what will you do? You wouldn't have a coat that's made of wool. You wouldn't have a coat or the black or the blue. If it wasn't for the work of the weavers.
There was a man came around collecting folk songs. His name was Peter Kennedy. He was from England. Another fact, Peter Kennedy's father started the English Folk Song and Dance Society, which is still going in London. But Peter Kennedy came around, he was collecting Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales, and a man called Sean O'Boyle, who was a musicologist and a Gaelic scholar, lived in Armagh, taught at St. Patrick's College in Armagh, and he brought him to my mother, because he knew my mother had all these songs. And they came and they must have stayed a fortnight there every day, recording every evening. And all the neighbours would gather and they'd play fiddles and they'd play pipes and accordions and whistles and they would sing lilt. So we spent a lot of time there. Got a lot of songs from my mother. And I was fascinated by these people from England. And then later on, people from America came to collect songs from her. People like Gene Ritchie and Pete Seeger and Diana Hamilton. And but Peter Kennedy took his tapes way back, and he went and talked to the BBC, and the BBC decided to do a folk music program, the first I had ever heard of, a folk music program on BBC World Service every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And they used a fragment of a song that my mother sang for them called As I Roved Out. She only had two verses to it in the chorus. But they used that as a signature tune for this folk program, which went out every Sunday morning on BBC World Service. So she was heard all over the world. Then I began to get very interested because I knew a lot of the songs. Didn't have to sit down to learn them. She sang incessantly at home, so you didn't have to sit down to learn a song. It was already there, and you didn't have to search for verses. They came. So we learned a lot of, all of us in the family, learned a lot of music from her, a lot of songs. And then she told me that in the evenings, when she was young, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock at night in a summer evening, a bunch of them would gather down the street from where we lived. There was a little wall and a garden sort of behind it. And the older men would meet there and sit and smoke their pipes, and they'd discuss everything from the monks in Tibet to growing flax or pulling flax or whatever. They would have authorities on everything, on World War One.
Right.
But the young people would gather at the wall in the evenings, and they would dance. They would do the sets. They would do all kinds of dances. Sometimes they'd have a fiddle player. Sometimes they might have a tin whistle player. Sometimes somebody with a jew's harp.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was nobody there, they would lilt. If there was no musician there, they would lilt, but they would all dance on the summer evenings.
So your memories go back to that type of an experience also?
Yes, indeed. And my father, there was always music about our house. My father played the fiddle. And I had a brother, Jack, and I had three sisters and myself. And my father played the fiddle. My brother, Jack, played the fiddle. And he taught me to play the whistle. And both of us played the bagpipes in the local pipe band. My father was the bass drummer in the band. But Jack, the brother Jack, when he was a lad, number of a lad going to school, he was the eldest in the family, I was the youngest. When he was going to the brother's school, like he'd have been in second or third, first or second grade, and there was a brother Gildas there, the De La Salle brothers, who was a master piper, Ilan Piper.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been teaching some of the older boys, like in 6th and 7th grade, to play the Ilan pipes. But my brother Jack, they stayed in his head all that time. And he got finished with school, and he was working, and he got married. But the pipes were still in his head. And at that time, you could have counted the Ilan pipers in Ireland on your fingers. And on Saturday night on Radio Erin, you'd have the Leo Rosum Quartet playing, and we never missed it. So Jack, I don't know where he got the money. He saved up the money, I think. And he got on to Leo Rosum, and he got a bellows bag enchanter from him and taught himself to play the Uilleann pipes. He was a very good piper, actually, a war piper. And he was a good Uilleann piper. And I would have been at the Uilleann pipes as well. I played the war pipes as well. But I would have been at the Uilleann pipes. But he stayed at home. I went to America. I got my hand hurt. I was only made a couple of months in the States when I got my hand all crushed. So to play, it was all right for playing the whistle. But to play the Uilleann pipes, I couldn't keep the fingers apart far enough, for long enough. You know, they'd be all right for a minute and then they'd start to slide because the injuries to the fingers.
We're going to sing a little love song. I'd like you all to join us in the chorus called The Whistling Gypsy.
Gypsy rover, come over the hill, down through the valley so shady. He whistled and sang till the green woods rang, and he won the heart of a lady. Ha-dee-doo, 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 ha-dee-doo. He whistled and he sang till the green woods rang, and he won the heart of a lady. She left her father's castle gate, she left her own fond lover, she left her servants and her state to follow the gypsy rover. Ha-dee-doo, ha-dee-doo, da-dee. Ha-dee-doo, ha-dee-dee-dee. He whistled and he sang till the green woods rang, and he won the heart of a lady. The father settled up his fastest steed, roamed the valleys all over, sought his daughter at great speed, and the whistling gypsy rover. Ha-dee-doo, ha-dee-doo, da-dee. Ha-dee-doo, ha-dee-dee. He whistled and he sang till the green woods rang, and he won the heart of a lady. He came at last to a mansion fine, down by the river glade, and there was music and there was wine for the gypsy and his lady. Ha-dee-doo, ha-dee-doo, da-dee. Ha-dee-doo, ha-dee-dee. He whistled and he sang till the green woods rang, and he won the heart of the lady. He's no gypsy, my father, she said, but lord of these lands all over, and I will stay till my dying day with my whistling gypsy rover.
Ha-dee-doo, ha-dee-doo, da-dee. Ha-dee-doo, ha-dee-dee. He whistled and he sang till the green woods rang, and he won the heart of a lady.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron, and I have been sharing with you an interview that I managed to have with Tommy Makem on Tuesday evening after his performance down at the Mother McGinty's in the Irish Village. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, Tommy is a real giant of Irish music and has been on the road for a long number of years with lots of stories to tell, and it was wonderful to reminisce with him. During that, I had a call in, and this is keeping it in the family. My sister Aileen phoned in. She wants to send good wishes out there to Gillian, my daughter. Gillian's participating in the marathon this weekend. She's going to do the 10K. And my brother is doing the marathon portion of it, Louis. Hope all goes well out there. And Paula Brennan, Paula's doing the 10K portion as well. Wish you all success, and that I know it looks like it's going to be a wonderful event this weekend. We're going to... We will be resuming the interview with Tommy Makem in a moment, but first, we have a message from our sponsor.
You could win a brand new Chevy Cobalt LS. Click on to chinradio.com for details. It's time to turn off Ottawa. The Duck. Now, turn on the world. Salsa! Turn off that sound you know and turn on the sound you need. Giving you brand new music from all over the world. Chin Radio 97.9.
The Little Irish Village with the Heart and Crown is the ideal place to find a good pint in a warm atmosphere. A snug pub, cozy, well-appointed alehouse with an inviting fireplace and intimate coves for small groups. Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, the Black Rose, complete the Irish Village. Sit on the patio, enjoy the buzz of the market. If it's a planned party or a casual visit, the Irish Village is the ideal spot. Music, food and drink in a welcoming atmosphere. It can only be the Irish Village.
The Irish government has approved in principle the extension of the centenarian's bounty of €2,500 on your 100th birthday to all Irish citizens born in Ireland, wherever they now live. The Taoiseach said the centenarian's bounty should be extended equally to Irish people wherever they are in the world, and it is a token of the regard that Ireland has for those people, for what they did and for the sacrifices they had to make. It is a further step reflecting the Irish government's deep appreciation and recognition of Irish communities abroad.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 with Austin Camerton. And we're going to return to the interview I had with Tommy Makem earlier in the week when he performed down at the Heart and Crown with Evans and Doherty. And Evans and Doherty are still performing down there. They will be down there tonight. So if you do want a night of fun, entertainment, head down there. And actually, I was down there just before I came on air, and there's a good buzz out in the patio. It's just a wonderful day in the market.
And then she told me that... in the evenings, when she was young, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock at night in a summer evening, a bunch of them would gather down the street from where we lived. There was a little wall and a garden sort of behind it. And the older men would meet there and sit and smoke their pipes, and they'd discuss everything from the monks in Tibet to growing flax or pulling flax or whatever. They would have authorities on everything, on World War One.
Right.
But the young people would gather at the wall in the evenings, and they would dance. They would do the sets. They would do all kinds of dances. Sometimes they'd have a fiddle player. Sometimes they might have a whistle, tin whistle player. Sometimes somebody with a jew's harp. And if there was nobody there, they would lilt. If there was no musician there, they would lilt, but they would all dance on the summer evenings.
So your memories go back to that type of an experience also?
Yes, indeed. And my father, there was always music about our house. My father played the fiddle. And I had a brother, Jack, and I had three sisters and myself. And my father played the fiddle. My brother, Jack, played the fiddle, and he taught me to play the whistle. And both of us played the bagpipes in the local pipe band. My father was the bass drummer in the band. But Jack, the brother Jack, when he was a lad, never a lad, going to school, he was the eldest in the family, I was the youngest. When he was going to the brother's school, like he'd have been in second or third, first or second grade, and there was a brother Gildas there, the De La Salle brothers, who was a master piper, Ellen Piper. And he had been teaching some of the older boys, like in sixth and seventh grade, to play the Ellen pipes. But my brother Jack, they stayed in his head all that time. And he got finished with school, and he was working, and he got married. But the pipes were still in his head, and at that time, you could have counted the Ellen Pipers in Ireland on your fingers.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9. If you didn't notice, I must apologise. In my editing of this pieces there, I actually repeated a piece that I had done on the previous section. We're going to pick up, we'll play a piece of music and we'll pick up the interview after.
The rain is soft and falling. In the distance, I can hear a foghorn sound. I pull my blankets just a little closer. My mind is on a ship that's outward bound. On a voyage through a memory. Sailing on a silver sea, the moon and stars above now brightly shine. The wind that fills the sails is a lullaby that tells a tale of all the things that I was glad to leave behind. The ocean has always been a part of me. I can feel the salt water running through my veins. I think of all the places where my ship will take me, but the thought of your gentle whispers gives me strength. On a voyage through a memory, sailing on a silver sea. Morning stars above now brightly shine. The wind that fills the sails is a lullaby that tells a tale of all the things that I was glad to leave behind. But as I rise, look out my little window. A wall of gray is wrapped before my eyes. I can see a clock where time is slowly ticking. I wish that I could make my life here fly. On a voyage through a memory, sailing on a silver sea, the moon and stars above now bright and shine. The wind that fills the sails is a lullaby that tells a tale of all the things that I was glad to leave behind. On a voyage through a memory, sailing on a silver sea, the moon and stars above now bright and shine.
And that was Evans and Doherty with Silver Sea from their CD, A Taste of the Maritimes. And as I mentioned, they will be down at the Heart and Crown tonight and have been there all week. I also mentioned there that the Ottawa Gaels golf season, their football season is starting, but they have their golf tournament going on out at Irish Hills today, and they're getting a wonderful day for it. I know, I'm sure there's a dinner at the end of it. I'm sure there will be a lot of fun out there. Next week, I'm hopeful that I can have an interesting conversation going on here. There's a group of people coming in visiting Ottawa on a golfing holiday, and I'm told that there are two Lord Mayors in the contingent from the south of Ireland, and I'm trying to make arrangements to get an interview with the Lord Mayor of Cork, and I understand the Lord Mayor of Macroom. The arrangements we're trying to make the arrangements, and if all goes well, I will have those interviews for you next Saturday. And I think that should be interesting, just to get a perspective of some people coming over, and they're coming on vacation, but it'll be interesting to hear the stories from the south of Ireland.
After all the years of Tommy Makem and the Clancy Brothers, and you now spend a lot of time on the road on your own, how do you find travelling now with and the audience reception, given that it's a whole new generation?
I've had been blessed with great luck all my life. Never any letdown in audiences. Busy. I left the Clancy Brothers in 1969, and I was on my own for till 1975, I think, doing solo stuff. Never hesitated for a minute. Lots of work. And then Liam and I met in Cleveland at a place called Pickle Bill's on a 4th of July weekend. There was a big sort of weekend on, and we were both booked separately for it. So we decided we'd go up and sing a few of the old songs we used to do. So well, it was two stages, one inside and one outside. So I'd be outside and he'd be inside, and then we'd cross and I'd be inside and he'd be outside. And we stopped talking in the hall like the first day that we were there, and we decided to do a few of these old songs. So we went out and we got a 5-minute ovation before we sang a note. I wanted to quit right there. Maybe we should do a few of these gigs together. And my wife, Lord have mercy on her, booked us into a place called the Raven Gallery in Detroit. It was a little theater, sort of coffee house theater, folk music place. And we did that for a week, and we developed maybe 3 or 4 hours of new material that we hadn't done with the brothers. And then we started taking gigs together. But that's where Makem and Clancy got started.
When on the road to sweet up by Haroo, Haroo. When on the road to sweet up by Haroo, Haroo. When go on the road to sweet a thigh, a stick in my hand and a drop in my eye. A doleful damsel I heard cry, Johnny, I hardly knew you.
We have guns and drums and drums and guns, haroo, haroo. We have guns and drums and drums and guns, haroo, haroo. We have guns and drums and drums and guns, the enemy nearly slew ya. And a darling dear, you look so queer, Johnny, I hardly knew ya. Where are the eyes that look so mild, haroo, haroo? Where are the eyes that look so mild, haroo, haroo? Where are the eyes that look so mild when my poor heart you first beguiled? Why did you skedaddle from me and the child, Johnny, I hardly knew you.
We have guns and drums and drums and guns, haroo, haroo. We have guns and drums and drums and guns, haroo, haroo. We have guns and drums and drums and guns, the enemy nearly slew.
ya. Hello, darling dear, you look so queer. Johnny, I hardly knew ya. Where are the legs with which you run? Hurroo, hurroo. Where are the legs with which you run? Hurroo, hurroo. Where are the legs with which you run when first you went to carry a gun? Indeed, your dancing days are done, Johnny, I hardly knew you.
We have guns and drums and drums and guns, hurroo, hurroo. We have guns and drums and drums and guns, hurroo, hurroo. We have guns and drums and drums and guns, the enemy nearly slew ya. Hello, darling dear, you look so queer, Johnny, I hardly knew ya. An arm, your hand's a leg, hurroo, hurroo. Your hand's an arm, your hand's a leg, hurroo, hurroo. Your hand's an arm and your hand's a leg. You're an eyeless, boneless, chickenless egg. You'll have to be put with a bowl to beg, Johnny, I hardly knew you. We have guns and drums and drums and guns, hurroo, hurroo. We have guns and drums and drums and guns, hurroo, hurroo. We have guns and drums and drums and guns, the enemy nearly slew ya. Hello, darling dear, you look so queer, Johnny, I hardly knew ya.
I'm happy for to see you home, hurroo, hurroo. I'm happy for to see you home, hurroo, hurroo. I'm happy for to see you home, all from the island of Ceylon. So lone of flesh, so high in the moon, Johnny, I hardly knew you.
We have guns and drums and drums and guns, hurroo, hurroo. We have guns and drums and drums and guns, hurroo, hurroo. We have guns and drums and drums and guns, the enemy never slew ya. Hello, darling dear, you look so queer, Johnny, I hardly knew ya.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton, and we're doing a, I suppose you would call it a special with Tommy Makeham. Tommy Makeham was here in town earlier in the week, and I got the opportunity to meet with him after his concert. I should say that just the concert itself, I got down there for, and to see Tommy Makeham, and he's in his 70s at this stage, stand up and perform in front of a full audience, and to hold the audience and to have the audience sing along. And actually at the end of the next set I am going to play a track, a piece that I recorded of one of the finales down there, and I hope the sound quality is up to that you can enjoy it. But to see Tommy Makeham stand up there in front of the crowd and hold the crowd and have the crowd with him after all his years in the business, it was a sight to be seen. And certainly it was an eye-opener for me, and it was a tremendous experience. We're going to return to the last segment of the interview I have with Tommy, which was after his performance down the Heart and Crown last Tuesday night.
If you were to look back over all the music and all the experiences and all the people you've performed with and all the auditoriums you've been in, is there anything really, really special that stands out?
No, we played Carnegie Hall twice a year for 7 or 8 years. And we did the Royal Albert Hall in London and the Symphony Hall in Boston. And we were barred from Symphony Hall in Boston because it used to be jam-packed, but the fans, this was the four of us now, the fans would came up and left six packs of beer, covered nearly the whole stage. So Boston's Symphony Hall in Boston, they frowned on that.
Right.
So we were banned from there. I also went out and toured in Australia and played the Sydney Opera House on my own 2 or 3 times. Well, I suppose the Carnegie Hall thing was great. All of the major, the Albert Hall was great as well.
And is there anything back in Ireland, anything special from, given that you spent so much of your career outside of Ireland,
were there any really memorable times where you were invited back or were performed in Ireland that was particularly special?
Oh, well, we did our first tour in Ireland, I think, in 1963. Kieran McMahona, who was with RTE, was out in the States taping for his radio show fiddle players and pipers and accordion players and whistlers and so forth who had left Ireland in the 40s and 50s. And every house he went into, wherever he went, in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, there was LPs of these four jokers in white sweaters. So he noticed them a lot, and he took home an armful of them, started playing them on Radio Éireann, and they just skyrocketed. So we did a tour in 1963, and it was... we had no idea what kind of reception we'd get. We played the... not the Gaiety, the other theatre in Dublin. But we played that, and we were doing it on a Sunday. Now, Radio Éireann had been playing all this stuff. We didn't know exactly what to... But we arrived, the theatre was jam-packed. They were sitting in the aisles, sitting on the stage, and there were... I would say 200 or 300 people outside in the rain that couldn't get in. So we were up in a window in the dressing room looking down, and they started to shout, "Say, give us a bar of a song." So we sang three or four songs for them out through the window, and they all sang the songs along with us, standing in the rain, in pouring rain. And then we went down and did the show in the theatre. And it was just sensational.
Tommy Makem, I don't want to take any more of your time because you've been very gracious to spend this time with me as is. I certainly enjoyed tonight, and I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with me. It's been a real honour and a real pleasure.
Well, thank you. And I think it was Walton's used to say, if you want to sing, do sing an Irish song. Don't be singing any of this crap that's supposed to be Irish music. I get fed up to the teeth that I have a great vengeance on them. Right. They're doing terrible damage to Irish music and culture. So I just wanted everyone to know that, how I feel. And don't stand for any revisions. Don't stand for any lessening of our culture. This is your treasure, and you should appreciate it and promote it, and don't let anyone dilute it or tell you that it's less than it is. It's not less than anything. This is the epitome.
Tommy Makem, thank you very much indeed.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM, and that was an interview I conducted with Tommy Makem last Tuesday evening after his performance down at the Heart and Crown. And despite the many years of travel on the road and the long career that he has, Tommy is still full of fire and certainly a very strong performance. When I finished with him, it was coming up, it was about 11:45 at night, and he was heading over to his hotel because he had a flight to catch the next morning to get to Boston, and he had just come in from Ohio the day before. So despite, as I said, being in his 70s, a very hectic schedule, and he's still in very strong demand, particularly down in the US. We're going to listen to a track that I recorded during the concert, so you're going to hear just the noises of the Heart and Crown when there's a crowd in down there, and they're all enjoying themselves and they're singing along with Tommy Makem and Evans and Doherty. Oh, yeah. You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM, and that piece was recorded on Tuesday night down at the Harton Ground when Tommy Makem was down performing with Evans and Doherty. And Evans and Doherty will be down there again. They're finishing up their run down there tonight. I also want to send good wishes out there to, I know Aileen Fondin, and after good wishes and the best to my daughter Gillian in the marathon, and Louis, my brother. But Aileen is also out there running, and I hope you do well, and that you have a wonderful evening out there, Aileen. The other thing I want to announce is on July 1st, Canada Day, we Chin Radio will have a stage over in front of City Hall, and we will be out there celebrating Canada Day and the multicultural aspect of Canada Day. And I will be, I've been asked if I can take care of a segment of it, because we start, I think, around 12:30. So I will go live that day from the stage on over on Laurier Bridge. And I'm looking forward to it. We'll be getting some music put together and doing some interviews and just having a fun day. So if you're going to be downtown on Canada Day, and I do hope you will be, come over via close to City Hall around any time. But I should be there between 12:30 and 2. And I look forward to that day. I think it'll be a fantastic day. The other thing is, We are getting the... I have to put the program together tomorrow for tomorrow yet. I have most of it done, so I know... I hope you'll enjoy it. It'll be a full music day again tomorrow. Today, we spent the day sharing what was for me a wonderful experience to sit down and talk to Tommy Makem, an icon of the Irish music industry. We played some music from Tommy Makem with the Clancy Brothers and also from Evans and Doherty over here in town. In the background at the moment, you're listening to Joni Madden playing Lord Mayo, and that's from Songs of the Irish Whistle. And after that, we'll go out with Moving Hearts and the May Morning Dew from a CD and the Crack Was Good. And if you're not outdoors, you should be outdoors. It's a wonderful weekend. There's a lot going on in the city. It's a shame if you're not doing something to enjoy it. I hope you've enjoyed the last hour. I look forward to being back with you again tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening. Slán go fóill.
is CJLL, Ottawa's multicultural voice, Chin Radio, 97.9.